Music. My next guest is another gentleman who we've been responding back and forth via email, and both of us are just having this really wonderful laugh about technology. Just as we're starting the interview, I was singing The Smiths as his phone was ringing, and I misdialed the wrong number. I crank called some other poor person. And they think they're being crank called by a Smiths fanatic. But joining me right now is from the Spiral Theory, Sandeep. Sandeep, how do you say your last name again? I just blew it. Swaminathan.
You got that.
Thank you so much.
You got that right, Jamie.
Old man for the win right there, Sandeep Swaminathan. Because I said to you just before the interview, I said, God, I hate my last name. I wish I had your name because that's like way cooler than mine.
I know, right? Like, it's actually my dad's name, so I'm going to take credit for that.
Oh, are you really? Yeah.
Thanks, Dad. Yeah.
That's cool. Hey, man, the Spiral Theory, you sent me the email and about this, I was going to say EP, but it's not. It's actually an LP because there's 8 songs. I think that should be the cutoff point, right? Because I've been getting many EPs lately, but this is an LP.
Yeah, exactly, like LP / album, I guess.
Right.
Over these 8 songs, it's just like a personal project to all of us. So we started the band in originally in 2019, but the guys were together without me before another singer under the name Morning Train. But then it didn't work out for them, and good for me, right?
Sure.
Yeah. So they were looking for a singer for some time, and I moved to Canada like a couple of years ago. And one of the major aspirations for my move is to basically, you know, get the music going over here in the local scene and be a part of it. So, so after auditioning for quite a few bands, quite a few funny bands, I mean, I'm not going to, we'll save that conversation for some other time.
Okay.
But but there, I had my share of laughs, like auditioning for some bands, really. And then I finally found these guys, and so it all worked out. So we started with, like, you know, we rented out a space in Toronto. So the guys are like from all over Southern Ontario, like drummers.
So it's like just different background. Like, is this recording project something where you guys are like sending the different parts to one person who pieces it together? Or were you guys actually having a chance to play live?
Oh, we were together. Like, you know, this is how the band, the inception of the band, and how we sort of like became the Spiral Theory from all that, like all the confusing things that we had before. Like going, like, who is going to be the next singer, the next bass player, and stuff like that. So,
because I was like, just the way you were describing all of that, it was kind of like, it just sounded so disconjointed that it was like,
I was like, it's exactly as it sounds, because it's sort of like, we were all over the place, like, and then we got together, and that's it. Like, you know, from then on, we knew that, you know, the Spiral Theory is going to work, and we're going to take it forward.
Right. So with these 8 songs that you put out, and you sent me the Spotify link, were these carryover songs from the previous bands, or were these all fresh fresh songs with you being in the band?
Some of them were a carryover because they thought that I could sing better. I wouldn't say better, like more. Like, you know, I could deliver the songs much more than the actual singer. Mm-hmm. And so we had a couple of songs from the other albums that was recorded before, and a couple of songs like Brace for Echo and Shoreline are the songs that we wrote, like, brand new.
Okay, so there is a couple of brand new songs. Now, was this your first recording project yourself?
Yes, for me, yes. Yeah. Actually,
was it so what was it like for you then?
Oh, it was amazing. Like, I was a bit nervous when I went into the studio the first time. Like, I was all like shaken, and then there's this guy sitting behind this huge ass console. Like, I was like, okay, what am I supposed to do? Should I stand here? Should I stand there?
Where did you guys record it?
At a place called Loudmouse Studios in Etobicoke.
Oh, okay. All right. So you were out there. So, and what was the name of the engineer that did this one? Because the name of the album, we should tell everyone, is The Turn of the Tide. And there is right. 8 songs on it. But who was the gentleman that or girl that helped you record this?
It's gentleman, and his name is Kevin. Kevin Dietz.
And why did you guys choose to work with him?
So he had a chance to work with the guys before, with Joe and Alan. Alan is the drummer. Joe is the guitarist, by the way. Mm-hmm. And so, Kevin is so, like, you know, he's not just a guy who sits behind the console. Like, he is, like, he works with you. He is, like, a co-producer, slash sound engineer, I would say that. Like, you know, he works with me in the studio. He works with the guys when everyone's doing their parts, right? Like, we all, like, he interacts and says, maybe try this, maybe try that, like, you know. Mm-hmm. Although it's not what he signed up for, but he's so passionate about it, and that's why we chose him. Like, it's, you know, not, we chose to work with
him. You just said it's not what he signed up for?
Yeah, I mean, not what he signed up for. He could just sit behind the console and just type, like, right. You know, yeah, another take, yeah, whatever.
Okay,
so, like that. But okay. Because I've heard stories, like, you know,
where
guys that work like that. But he was so passionate, like, you know, he works with you, like,
okay,
as like he's like a part of your own project, your own band when he works.
Well, yeah, well, that's what a producer should do. He or she should be able to help bring whatever you're bringing to them to come out sounding the best that it could possibly be. But it was just the way that you said it. It kind of struck me funny as you guys were being a pain in the ass and he had to, like, suffer. Like, it's not what he signed up for, you know. You guys do
oh, no. Sometimes. Yeah. No kidding.
Hey, when you were describing your sound, when you were sending over information to me, some of the things that you were saying was like it was a takeoff of a classic rock kind of vibe. But when I started listening to it, even off the opening track of Brace for Echo, the first thing that hit me was more, yeah, it was classic rock, but it The guitar chugging kind of was reminiscent of early REM for me, which is kind of like, which was a derivative of the Byrds music. Do you hear any of that, or am I just, my ears just getting old?
Oh, you're absolutely right.
Oh, okay.
And you're spot on. Yeah, because we do music in two different formats. Like, one is like completely write songs and also to pay for our rents and stuff like that. So what we do is we play some covers. We do tributes to the Police, U2, and REM. So there you go.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So there was, because I could almost feel that REM presence on the guitar there from Peter Buck.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would 100% agree with you on that, and especially when we do like these tributes to REM, like, you know, the fans of REM would come down to our shows and they would be like, hey man, you guys just, like, you know, you don't look like REM, but you just sound like one.
Well,
like,
hopefully you look a lot younger than REM than what they do now, because those guys are like got 20 years on me, I think. But
right.
With this LP, though, it doesn't get pigeonholed in right off from the first track. I mean, there are some changes as the songs develop. When you go from Dreamality to Shoreline to Dirty Water, and then it'll go right back into, like, I believe Joker's Game was a rock type style song, was it not?
Absolutely. So over these like 8 songs, you will hear like active rock, and then some, like, you know, elements of pop with some, and even there's like a ballad, like a quintessential ballad that I would say, and then we end with some sort of like a galloping metal thing track, like, you know, it's got its warriors on horses. So yeah.
Okay. So with these 8 songs, as you said previously, some of the songs was from an earlier project with the other guys, and you have a couple new ones now. Where do you guys envision the Spiral Theory sound on the next step? Because everything has to show evolution in whatever you're doing. Have you guys thought about like what the sound of Spiral Theory is going to be on the next LP?
Absolutely. So I think what we have as an album has pretty much defined the sound, like sounds of like modern rock, but classic in feel, but modern in execution, kind of a thing where mm-hmm. we blend the classic guitar tones with some sort of like modern vocal melodies and progressive rhythms. So that's something that we want to continue, like, further, because that's sort of like defines us when it comes to the sound. And so far, the album's reception, like with so much pandemic going on and everything, has been good. I would say that, because people, you know, it's so hard to network right now with people, and it's all over the emails and stuff like that, with, you know, so many other people sending emails. Like, it's so hard to differentiate your sound and, you know, convince people to listen to your debut album. And that's another thing, right? So, but yeah, I think coming to the question, I think we're going to continue with the sounds, probably tweak a little bit, maybe work more on a production side of it, like, you know, try to add some layers, more layers, and things like that. Is it seed that the truth unfolds? The fear and crime make the weakest died as the brave takes a higher road. I shout at the world in anger. You better prepare for the echo. The leaders lie and believers rise, but the wise take the other side.
Voices screaming. I got cut, and I didn't notice it. I just kept singing along, and the more I sang, the more I moved, the more the blood pumped, and I looked down, and I was covered in blood. And,
you're listening to Steel City Music.
Call it the sins. You made it live. I think they were one of the first bands to actually say, hey, why don't we put adult themes in rock and roll?
You're listening to Steel City Music.
We'll be right back. We sit motionless in the caves. The distant battle drums grow louder as the invaders move ever closer. Our torches dim and bring an end to our light. We await our fate in chilling darkness. We have no warriors to oppose them. There is no reason to hope. And through the dark and silent tunnels, the sound of distant horn, a sudden calm on the plains above, a flash of warm light fills the caverns. They have come.
Epic ending on that song. Hey, Steel City Music, Gunner here, and you just heard The Spiral Theory. That was the track Time of the Blackened. Before that, Game Day, Open Your Eyes, Joker's Game, Dirty Water, Shoreline, and Dreamality, and starting things off, Brace for Echo. Check them out, thespiraltheory.com. Turning of the Tide, I believe, is the name of their new album. Am I right on that one? Yeah, Turn of the Tide. There you go. So, I referenced it in the actual interview and way back in the beginning of the hour when I was introing this, that they had reminiscence of REM. Not the latter part, even though that epic sounding end of that track would be something that would be the bigger sounding REM of their career. But that's more of like a rock thing, a classic rock heaviness that they have there. But what I was hearing was that the Byrds influence, like the earlier stuff of REM, right back to the beginning, except, you know, not too early. But it's funny, I found a link on YouTube of an album that was recorded, a live album at a record store down in Atlanta back in like 1980. And I was going to play that, but then I thought, nah, you know, I'd have to clean up the audio so much to a point where, you'd be guessing, you'd be listening to it going, that sounds like a Buddy Holly thing, or that sounds like this. And the only person that could truly appreciate that I know was Lou Molinaro from Lou's Control over at CFMU 93.3, which you can catch from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. So I sent it to him. So us two old guys can go, oh, wow, man, check this out. Listen, did you hear that part? Just like two little girls. We're little girls. Anyway, so I thought I'd throw in two tracks of early REM, two of my favorites, and a shout out goes to Gavin O'Sullivan and Steve Foster, because I know we just played the crap out of their tapes, and that's all we ever talked about when we were in our latter teens and early 20s was REM. So we will hear Radio Free Europe, the Hip Tone. I believe that's the version I got. And also this really cool track called Seven Chinese Brothers. Check it out on Steel City Music.
Chinese brothers swallowing the ocean. right, well, back to the almost eternal Iggy Pop discography. Your first solo album was 77's The Idiot. And how big a part did David Bowie play in your emergence as a solo artist?
Well, I mean, put it this way. Before I made that record, I was a street person in L.A., basically, and I'd been kind of stymied by the entire music business and a really disastrous manager in general, and drug problems and drinking and general carousing, you know. So at the time, I could have put together kind of just a stock rock band, something glam, something tasteless, but I didn't want to do that. And it was really timely that he suggested basically two things: getting out of LA, and which is great, and making an album together, which was a good idea, because I think had he not come along with that proposal, I probably wouldn't be talking to you. No,
really?
I'd be playing somewhere, probably in 42nd Street or something, you know, something like that. So it was a good stroke.
You're listening to CIOI The Hawk, 101.5 FM in Hamilton, Ontario.
Love the beginning of this track right here. Steel City Music, Gunner here. Listening to the beginning of this song, just digging every second of it. In this hour, interview with Hollowcore, we hear from Arcade Fire, we'll spin some Fantagrams, M83, and the Crowleys as well. But starting off the hour, Mercy Street, Peter Gabriel song, covered by Fever Ray, on Steel City Music.